Hi folks, hope all is well. This is Jim Carroll, welcome you to Bantercast, the latest podcast from the team behind the Banter series of public talks and events. For Bantercast 101, we have another legend in the bag, and it's someone that anyone who's lived or worked in Dublin will need no introduction to. Say hello to Mattress Mick. We brought the Don of Bedding to our stage at the Beach Yarn Festival, and he gave us a masterclass in the art of selling, a deep dive into his own life story, and at first, he also gave away a mattress to one lucky Banter audience member.
Hi everybody, welcome along to the penultimate event at Banter Yarn 2016. We've had many, many talks, we've had many legends through this door today, but this is the one and only. Please give him a huge round of applause, all the way from Coolock?
Yeah, Pier Street. Fine, yeah.
And basically any kind of place you can put a poster up. Please welcome Mattress Mick.
Thank you all very much. I only expect to see 10 people here.
Jeez, I told you I'd sell more tickets, you know?
Yeah, thank you.
So where did it all begin for you?
Mattress Mick was in a desperate position there a couple of years ago. I had my own business. It was things were bad, things were difficult. So I had to do something desperate to stay alive. So I created... I've been in the furniture business all my life, as a lot of people would probably know, and I looked at my business, and what we were selling mainly was mattresses and beds. They were the main products that we were selling. So I came up with the idea of just having a specialist mattress shop selling mattresses. But I needed to do this in a different way. I needed to be a bit quirky. I didn't have a huge amount of money. I didn't have the budgets, we'd say, that Harvey Norman would have had or any of my major competitors. So I looked at myself and I said, right, how do I do this without money? So what I did was I created a marketing campaign based on what I call guerrilla marketing. I got a picture taken of myself. I put posters all around Dublin illegally, which... But this was part of the fun. Like, we put them up wherever we saw an empty site, we saw an empty shop, we saw a lamppost. We got into quite a bit of trouble with Dublin City Council. They weren't very pleased with us, but they would then send me a fine, and they called me litter. I was fined as for being litter. And I couldn't understand that. I don't look like litter, do I? No. Anyway, I then didn't know what to do. I had to either put myself out there or get somebody to be Mattress Mick. So I had the posters, I had them out there. Then I decided, right, this is getting a little bit of reactions, getting a little bit of publicity. And I said, right, I will be Mattress Mick, because I do look a little bit funny. Like I, well, I think I do. My family think I'm mad. And I said, right, well, I'll do what I want to do. So I didn't have to answer to anybody. I just put myself there, created this character, Mattress Mick, and I went forward, both with the posters and with branding my vans with my picture on them. Yeah. And they were going around the city. And I was very, very fortunate. Some of the media picked up on what I was doing, and particularly the first bit of good publicity we got was the Meteor do a big Christmas ad every year. I don't know if you all know that, but they have an ad every year. It's a specific ad for their phone company. And they asked me to appear in it. And all that I did was I had to sign my name, Mattress, on a plaster cast. But it was shown about 200 times prior to Christmas, and people began to recognize me, which was brilliant.
Right. Did that have a direct impact on sales in the shops?
No, not at that time. What it did have, it created an interest in Mattress Mick. It needed a little bit more than that to get the sales. What then happened to me was I put a very big sign up on the five lamps. I don't know if anybody knows what the five lamps is. And I was very fortunate that Stephen Fry, the famous Stephen Fry, actually tweeted about it, that he wanted to meet me to get a mattress. Now, and this, yeah. And
has he been into the Coolock Superstore?
No, he hasn't actually got the mattress yet. We're still waiting. But What he did was he put me in a different league altogether, because being a major Twitter user, a big personality, people kind of responded to what he had done. And it was fantastic, because on that particular morning, my phone went mad. There were different radio stations wanting to speak to me, and I did. And that's when I first saw the signs of sales happening. People were coming out of curiosity to the shop. They were coming out of interest. And it was also picked up by, we say, RTE. I think Ray Darcy did a bit on me. Derek Mooney was very, very good to me, the broadcaster who's was with RTE. He gave me a great lot of press and publicity, and all of this helped. And you could see, after a very, very, it was nearly 3 years into the Mattress Mick thing, when sales began to happen. And I think by being on the radio, being on the television or whatever, it gave people a confidence in buying from me. And one of the things I promote all the time is Irish-made mattresses. I keep going and going and going about people should sleep on an Irish-made mattress. We did the videos on YouTube. I can see you laughing at me over there. The YouTube videos were started around the same time as the posters. But as soon as the press and the big publicity, the YouTubes were watched quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And it again helped a lot. We were doing them every... A friend of mine, Paul Kelly, who I met in the yacht one night, the yacht pub, I live in Clontarf, he was the cameraman. He's the guy who does all this stuff for me. And we came up with a plan to do a Mattress Mick video every 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But they weren't getting the hits until the publicity. So you could see it all falling into place. And really, it was amazing, the response after the various bits and pieces. And now, I paid for nothing. I didn't pay for Stephen Fry. I didn't pay for the radio interviews.
So it was all kind of like being viral, as we say, viral guerrilla marketing.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Let's go back to kind of like a time before Mattress Mick. You know, back we were talking about earlier on, we were walking through the flea market and we were talking about the dandelion market. You know, was that your first evidence? Was that your first time selling them? Were you selling before then?
Yeah, my family were, my shop in Pier Street was the family shop. And we actually lived as a family behind that shop. It was a drapery shop, the old traditional type of drapery shop where you had the long counter and all the shelves behind it. And my grandfather started that in 1922. And he also specialized in fishermen's outfits, you know, like the big Wellington boots, the rubbers, all that kind of stuff. But I've always been kind of in sales. And when I left school, I went to Sing Street. And when I left school, I went into banking. I worked in a merchant bank in Dawson Street called the Royal Trust Company. And I always had an interest in doing bits and pieces myself. Then the dandelion market was a very, very kind of trendy market at the time. And I needed to buy a car. So I decided I'd go and take a stall in the dandelion market. And I was selling costume jewelry. And it was amazing. And actually, U2, the band U2, played... They started off the same time that I was working in the dandelion market. They would stand in the, I don't know, if, a lot of you may not remember where it was, but it was on Stephen's Green.
Stephen's Green Centre.
Stephen's Green Centre is now on it. But there was a big kind of entrance, covered in entrance, and you two were playing along the side of that every Saturday and Sunday.
Were they any good back then?
They were fantastic, yeah. They were really fantastic. And I have a lovely photograph. I just can't find it of me and Bono. If I could find it now, I'd say it'd be nice to have. But it was, the dandelion market was an experience. But I then diversified into, we had the shop in Pier Street. I was getting tired of being a banker. So at that time, bottled gas was very big. Like Cosan gas was very big in households and in offices. So this company called Flowgas came into existence in Ireland, and I got an agency for Flowgas. And I was selling the flow gas. I left the bank and I was selling the flow gas and the clothes in Pier Street, in the shop in Pier Street. And at one stage, we were selling, I think, about 10,000 bottles of gas a year. And we were delivering them in these little FSO trucks, like pickup trucks, very cheap they were at the time to buy. But they did the job. We had a radio controlled delivery service. So I enjoyed all that. So all my life, basically, yes, I have been working for myself. Yeah. I've had my ups and downs. I then diversified into grocery stores. I had three Mace the Mace brand shops. They were just starting in Ireland. And I had one in Ringsend, I had one in Pier Street, and one in Prussia Street. But being young, Leeson Street was active. I enjoyed life. I took the eye off the ball and lost mostly, nearly everything, actually.
Did you enjoy your nights on Leeson Street?
Yes, absolutely. Like, it was the start of the kind of late-night Dublin activities with the wine and the stuff. It was very good, actually. And the stuff.
Are you a good dancer?
No, yeah, well, I can dance, yeah. Like, I have a very good video. What?
It's a bit early in the day. It's a bit early in the day.
What's he asking me to do?
He wants you to dance right now.
I know. I need somebody to dance with me. I don't know if you've seen my last video, did you? Back with a bang.
So, like, I mean, was Leeson Street, like, was that a lively scene? You know, was a lot of other kind of young bucks like yourself kind of like celebrating and kind of taking it easy at night?
It was magic. It was fantastic. A place like all the strip in Leeson Street. Then you had Chivago nightclub, you had Barbarella, Sloopy's, you had all of these various nightclubs. And Dublin was becoming a very, very interesting city to be a young person in. It's even more interesting now, I believe, but I'm not a young person anymore. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah. But my business suffered because I had a lot of money coming in. Things were going very well. Took the eye off the ball. And, well, what happens, you know, I was young and I just didn't realize the consequence of what I was doing. So I actually lost the business, the Mace business. I basically had to close it up. I'd bought a house in Sandymount, my family home. Well, we moved from Pier Street to Sandymount, but I had to actually sell that to clear off all my liabilities that I created. But in hindsight, it was a great lesson. You know, it won't happen to me again because I know the pitfalls.
Yeah.
And I know the consequences of it. And this is where I think when, in 07, 08, when things got a little bit tight, I realized I had to do something before it was too late. And this is where I created the Mattress Mick.
Yeah, okay. So let's go on to Mattress Mick then. You know, you created him. You had this kind of viral campaign going on.
Yeah.
You were getting all this free publicity. You know, everyone kind of knew what was going on. I'm curious about, like, the sales effect. Did it take a while for it to percolate through? And do you think as well that the people who were looking at Mattress Mick, this character, were the ones buying the mattress, or was it someone else?
No, it took... In my mind, Mattress Mick is 6 years old, right? It took me 3 years to kind of get the roots of Mattress Mick out there, to get the idea that there was such a person. After 3 years, with like Stephen Fry, the Back of the Bang video, the roll-on publicity, the good service that we give, the fact that we're promoting, and the videos promoting the Irish-made mattresses, now the sales are certainly happening. Now I'm a force. Like, people are recognizing, the industry respects me. My competitors don't like me, but at the same time, they respect me. And in fact,
do you check out your competitors? Do you go into Harvey Norman and bounce on his beds?
No, I will go into Harvey. I will go into Harvey Norman as I walk around, and they watch me very closely. In fact, one guy, there's a shop not too far from here. I went into one Saturday. It's in Dunleary, actually. And the guy actually escorted me out of it. He grabbed me by the arm and said, "Get out." I said, "I'm only here to talk to you." Like, he said, "Get out." Even when you can feel the tension when I walk into some of my competitors. But overall, like, we're all quite friendly. We are competitors. There's some shady people in the business. There's people who are, you know...
Define shady for us, Mick.
Shady. Well, there's fellas who will sell a mattress, pretend it's an Irish-made mattress, but it's not. They'll sell it as a second-hand mattress. They're getting them, some of them buy them, get them recovered, and sell them as new mattresses. There are people like that. Well, they're getting weeded out now because the guys like myself... The regulators, the fire authorities, they're getting stricter and stricter on controlling this. But it was a very serious problem.
Yeah.
And these were selling mattresses and beds that were not new. but were passed off as new.
Okay. So, like, you know, say someone walks into the kind of Coolock superstore to buy a mattress, right? Say normally a couple walk in, a guy and a girl walk in, you know. And, like, what's your approach? I mean, do you immediately target the woman? Or, like, I mean, how do you go about it?
Well, firstly, you mainly get women coming in first. You very seldom get a couple. Like, I find this anyway. So, she'll do the scouting. You know, she'll do the research. Well, he's at work or whatever.
Hey, he sees this every day.
I knew that guy reaction. See, this is my guerrilla marketing. You'll remember me for this. You see, women come in, and I try to, nowadays with the internet and with everything, people know what they want. They don't want any old mattress. They want a mattress that will say has pocket springs or memory foam or a combination of both or latex. They do research genuinely, and I think it's amazing that they do it. It's great. But I will always insist that when somebody's buying a mattress that they lie down on the bed, they lie down on the mattress, put a pillow on the mattress, because you don't sleep with your head on the mattress. You sleep with your head on the pillow. They think I'm mad. And I sometimes will offer to even get on the bed with them. Yeah. Well, I set a target to get 3 women on the bed every day, but but it works. It actually works because people can remember this. They enjoy it. They enjoy the interaction of and my salesmen. Some of them get away with it. You have to have a particular type of personality to do that. There's one guy in particular now. He's actually better than me at doing it, but. And then there's some who can't. But it does make a difference. It does help people to remember and to buy. Yeah. Genuinely it does. Then you get as I said earlier on, the lady does the scouting. And she say, I don't know whether he'll like it or not. It might be too hard for him or whatever. Bring him up. Now, I won't lie in the bed with him unless you want me to. But... It does happen.
Okay. So, like you said there about like other salespeople make, you know, what do you look for in a salesperson when you're hiring someone?
Well, my staff have been with me for a long time. They know me very well. At least they'd wanted to work with me because I'm not an easiest person to work for. But I demand that they're fully knowledgeable of the products, that they know what they're talking about, they don't bullshit people, that they can answer any questions. And if they can't answer it, they go and find somebody who can answer it. Because your mattress is your best friend, when you think about it. You know, like you go to bed and you share lots of experiences on your mattress, and they are your best friend. And I think it's very important that you get to know your best friend before you go home with him. You know, so it is important that people learn about and try out and experience the best they can in the shop. Now, what we offer in most cases, if it's an expensive enough mattress, we give them a 3-day trial. So what that means, basically, if you want to buy a mattress and you give it your best shot, if you after 3 nights or 4 nights you don't like it, I'll change it for you. And that gives people a little bit of comfort or a bit of insurance to say, right, I'm not going to spend 500 or 600 euro. I'm going to be stuck with it. At least Mattress Mick will change it for me if it's, and it does work. But you get very few people who come back. And most people will buy the mattress that they suit. If they take the time, that suits them, if they take the time in the shop.
What salesman do you admire? What big salesman do you admire? Are you a Donald Trump fan?
No. Not at all. I admire Michael O'Leary big time. I think he's amazing for his marketing, for his professionalism, and for his cheek, basically. I admire him a lot. I admire Dennis O'Brien a lot. Now, these are... Was that the wrong thing to say? Okay. Really, I model myself, like the people I like to imitate are people who have been successful and have had failure first. Yeah. O'Leary's been quite lucky, but I love what he's done. In fact, I did an ad on the paper one time. I said, O'Leary sells seats, I sell beds. But they stopped it after a short while. They wouldn't let me run it because I was... And the other one we did was for IKEA.
L- let's turn back to kind of like, I suppose, the matches make phenomenon then. And you were in, you there's been a documentary made on you by Michael Kelly, hasn't it? He's done the documentary on you.
There's been a documentary done. It was done by a company called El Zerrero Films. Colm Quinn is the owner and director of it. It was commissioned. Well, it wasn't commissioned. They approached us about 3 years ago. They opened their offices beside my shop in Pier Street, and they saw what was going on. So they said, can we do a 10-minute film on you? And we said, certainly. But it transpired they were filming us for 3 years, because as I was growing, their interest became more, they got more interest in the whole idea. And they followed us. I've been fortunate enough to be asked to do personal appearances, like we say, a Strictly Come Dancing events. I was at the Rites venue on Valentine's night, dancing on beds with different things like this. You're all laughing at me here. I think you're all jealous.
Remember, this is a personal appearance as well. You know, you're all going to go home thinking about Matches Mick, dreaming about Matches Mick.
No, you're not. No, you're not. But they came, they filmed all this type of stuff, which was, and as my profile grew, more things were happening. And they wanted to keep filming and filming. So the mattress, or the filming space, is called the Mattress Men, and it's now finished at an hour and a half. It's just under an hour and a half. And it was premiered there quite recently in Toronto at a film festival called Hot Docs. And it got a tremendous response, absolutely tremendous. It was a fantastic experience. They brought the Irish Film Board, who are funding the film, brought us over, put us up for a few days. And after each premiere, there was a questions and answers thing. And it was very interesting, the questions and some of the answers I had to give.
What kind of questions were you getting in Toronto?
Like, is it really like this in Ireland? Like, the film is based about Mattress Mick, how it was created. The Paul Kelly, who is my film man, who does all my videos, we have differences all the time. I didn't see the film actually myself until it was shown at the festival. They didn't show it to me. And I was quite surprised at the content, because they would film, you say, Paul Kelly, other parts of his life. Parts of my life were filmed in the shop, then at the entertainment side of things. There was one or two very sensitive situations in the film regarding Paul and myself, which I didn't know were going to be shown. And I think when it comes out in October, it's a good insight into Dublin life, Dublin business, Dublin business people getting together and creating this Mattress Mick guy. And what I found when we were in Canada, and we were in Toronto, we were in a pub one night, and this fella came over to me, are you Mattress Mick? And I didn't realize that people that far away would actually know about Mattress Mick. And this wasn't an Irish guy, this was a Canadian fella. And it was a great compliment that this happened. I get phone calls also from as far away as, and emails from Australia. People, you know, how are you getting on? Okay, any sign you're coming over to Australia? And that is lovely, but I didn't ever, when I started, all I wanted to do was sell mattresses, not to become, like, known worldwide. But I'm not, well, I say worldwide, like, in the little bit.
It's getting there.
But it's fascinating, the power of social media, which I did not realize. This is where Paul Kelly helped me. I wasn't aware how powerful social media was until this happened.
Yeah. Do you still drink in the yacht?
Yeah, all the time, every night, two pints.
Okay. Quite another question, I'm curious. How long does a good mattress last?
A good mattress should last you, if you buy, we'll say, a pocket spring memory foam mattress, they're built from the bottom up. You don't have to turn them, because all you do is rotate them. You should get a minimum 15 years.
Right.
A minimum.
Yeah.
That's with normal wear and tear, 15 years. You can get more, I suppose, but I would say 15.
Yeah. See, I'm curious about your competitors. You know, I mean, we all remember that kind of like that loud-mouthed Harvey Norman ad that went on, you know, and I'm trying to think, have any of your competitors come to you for advice about marketing, or like, do they kind of like me, kind of reckon there's only one match to speak in town, you can't run him out of town?
No, they haven't come to me for advice, because they're all at it a lot longer. Some of them, like the big names, like the Bargain Towns, the Des Kellys, they've all been around a lot longer than Mattress Mick. And they, I know, I've helped the mattress industry in Ireland, I've helped the furniture industry. These guys also have a role to play. And I've never knocked their, like Bargaintown are an amazing company. I know the guys very well. They have a different business model than I have. They have a different way of doing business than I have. And Des Kelly himself, who actually died last week, he was one of the buildings I operate in. He actually, I bought it from him or took it from him. He was a fair man. We're all friends, but we are enemies as well. Like, we're all fighting for a piece of a small market, but a very interesting market, and a market that's getting more interesting every year.
Do you ever think about expansion again, Mick? Do you ever think about, given that you back in the day you were selling clothes, your family was selling clothes to fishermen, you were the gas man, you were selling cans of gas. I mean, do you ever think about expanding again?
Well, what I've done is I've registered Mattress Mick as a trademark. I've locked it up completely as a trademark covering all of Europe and the United States. I've invested in that. I've registered all of the various domain names, like even mattressmick.asia.
And I can see Mattress Mick working out there.
Well, you know, it's just the reason for this was I hope to retire. I don't want to be doing this all the time. I am now giving other retailers a license to trade as Mattress Micks. For example, I have one retailer now in Drogheda. He's just opened a store, and he is now trading as Mattress Mick. But he's independent. I don't supply him. It's not a franchise. It's just a license to operate a Mattress Mick shop for a fee. I have another guy in Tirlestown, and I'm talking to a couple of other people at the moment with the hope that other retailers, and I will help them with my publicity. Like, I will mention my website, my radio interviews, my whatever I have to do, and that would be my function. But it's working out quite well. Like, the two guys are doing very well. The two existing ones are doing very well. So if in the future somebody like the big UK company, like Dreams or Benson's for Beds, want to move into Ireland, there may be an opportunity for them to have a look at my business.
Yeah. So world domination.
I don't know, but it's the only way I will go forward. I just don't want any more shops myself. I have enough. I've got Pierce Street, I've got Coolock, I have my website, which is 24-hour shop window. And it's beginning to work quite well for us. I don't really want any more leases, landlords. I'm happy where I am, and I think by going forward with the license is a good way of expanding.
Okay, great. Before we wrap up, I'm getting questions in the audience for Mick. This is your chance.
Give me a question. I need a question.
Someone's got a question there because someone keeps keeping poking someone. No?
Where are you going, Bray?
Bray.
I haven't. Bray is a bit near my own shops.
I'm not near enough. I can't get a good night's sleep without you.
Pardon?
Can't get a good night's sleep without you.
Oh, okay.
you're going to pass the business on. Is there going to be a mattress, Michelle?
Michelle is my daughter. No, I don't think so. I think I'm the end of the line on this one. This is why I'm hoping that that somebody will come along at some stage and take me out of the picture. But I would like to work for them. You know, I'd like to just be a Mattress Mick ambassador, we'll say, or whatever, go around the various shops. But there's nobody in my family to follow on at the moment. So it's a worry. It's something you've got to take into account, but I don't know what to do about that yet.
Okay.
One more question?
Anybody want a mattress?
What's the worst night's sleep you've ever had?
Last night, coming here today.
It wasn't that bad, no.
No, it was a bit of fun. I was been looking forward to it, actually. I never heard of this event before until I was contacted, and it's great, actually. It's a bit of fun. It's a bit of fun. Now, I've got to give away a mattress today. Yay!
How are you going to give it away?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out what to do here, and I was going to suggest perhaps...
Hold on a second. There's one... Dance-off?
What?
A dance-off.
I'm not dancing.
No, you're not dancing, but someone might dance. Hey, do you tell me there's a good Mattress Mick song on the way?
Yes, Richie Kavanagh, I don't know if you ever heard of Richie Kavanagh has written a song about me.
You haven't got it with you, have you?
I have it on my phone, yeah.
Do you want to give it to Dylan there? He'll play it. We'll play it through the speakers.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. So, is this a world exclusive? This is a world exclusive at Banter Yard. World exclusive. The first time in the world you're ever going to hear the Mattress Mix song by Richie Kavanagh. If you can find it. Yep.
No pressure. I was going to ask somebody to get up and sing my song, Back With A Bang. And whoever sings it best, I ask four people to sing it. Whoever sings it best, we give the mattress to them. George Bendick. Who? This is annoying now. This is very annoying. Because the song is amazing. But I'm really nervous. Isn't it terrible?
It's terrible. Like Banter Yard has caused you to be nervous.
You put me on the spot.
I shouldn't have.
Yeah, I find it. Oh, this is terrible. I'm embarrassed now.
Oh.
Everybody else is here.
Well, I tell you what. How about doing a quiz instead? How about doing a Mattress Mix quiz instead?
Okay. Well, I'd like to give a double mattress away to somebody today. I really do, because you all look very tired. anybody, help me out here, please.
Okay, let me see now. I suppose, do you want to kind of like ask a kind of a Mattress Mick related question regarding some of the shops? The other thing we didn't talk about either was your taxis, you know? I mean, how many taxis have you got at the moment? 70, is it?
No, I had 28 at one stage. This was again a hobby that I started off. I never mentioned it in the conversation. In 06, I need to buy a new car. And I live in Clontarf and I work in Coolock, so I couldn't justify a new car. So I said, right, I'll buy a new car, but I'll apply for my own taxi license. So I did it. I did the test, got the taxi license, got the car. And then somebody said to me one day, I'm looking to rent a taxi. So I said, I have one. So he rented it. Then I bought another one. And I kept going. I just happened by. What's the word? Just rolled over. I ended up with 28 taxis. But it was now I'm down to 15 at the moment, and I use some of the older ones to brand as yellow and red Mattress Mick cars. I don't know if you've seen them going around or not. Yeah, and they're a great advertisement. Like I have my picture on the side of it, and it's a bit of fun.
I know how we're going to give away the mattress, Mick. We're going to, like, anyone who wants to win the mattress has got to stand up and tell us why they want to win the mattress. Does that sound okay to you?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
That's fine.
And what type of mattress would they like to win? Now,
all right. Start with the gentleman over here in the check shirt.
So the bed we currently have, the slats are broken. Probably since last year we had to move the mattress onto the ground, which I got off my sister, but it's a memory foam, but a really cheap memory foam, so it's like a kitchen sponge. So when you stand on it, your foot goes all the way to the bottom, and typically my back goes as well as my girlfriend. I was in the off license on.
Jeez, I should have put a time limit on this.
Take some beers out, my back went. I was on the ground. He thought I was drunk, but just my back went.
That's a good story.
That's a very sad story, isn't it?
Very sad story. Right. Round of applause for Mr. Check Short.
Okay. That's not a bad round of applause. What size is your bed? 4'6". Okay.
Okay. Next, who wants to win a mattress next? Okay, dude here.
Recently, just moved back after living in the country. Currently sleeping on a crap mattress on the floor. Questionable levels of hygiene.
Okay.
So you're basically not getting any action since you sleep on the floor. Okay.
And what size is it? Have you got a bed frame? Have you got a base? You have nothing. Jeez, you're a sad case, aren't you?
Okay. Hey, round of applause for this one. Okay. Next. Next. Anyone next? Dirt check shirt man.
I I'd love to get a new mattress, primarily because I heard about a friend of mine who's the head of product testing at your factory, and ultimately I was really pissed off because he slept his way to the top.
Oh, Jesus.
We need a lady or a girl to speak now. Come on, we've three men so far.
Okay, next.
Any girl?
Come on, this is a match.
There's a blonde
mattress.
Girl over there who's trying to speak. She's got sunglasses on her.
Shona, what have you got to say?
No.
Shona has to speak
yourself.
Okay.
Nope. I would just love a mattress.
What?
You're a leader in the industry, and I just would love it.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. I think we won. What? Okay. One more entry. We have time for one more entry. Who wants a new mattress? These mattresses are expensive.
I love a new mattress.
Why would you like a new mattress, Mr. Wu? What?
Just to be comfortable. I could give you the meaning of life, but just to sleep safe and soundly.
Okay. Who'd you reckon, Mick? Thank you very much. Mick, who gets the mattress?
Well, I hope I'm saying this right now, but I think the first man here over here had the biggest applause. Yeah.
Big round of applause. And big round of applause as well for Mattress Mick for coming out here today. Don't forget as well, you'll be able to see the Mattress Men documentary in all good cinemas from October the 7th.
Many thanks to Mick for taking the time to join us at Banter. This podcast was recorded by Dylan Higgins and produced by Banter series producer Tanya White. You can check out thisisbanter.com for news of our up-to-date banter. Plus, you can also listen back to all the Banter podcasts to date. We'll be back next week with another legend. Until then, goodbye and take care.